Today is Friday, July 4th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. July 4th, 2025. Trump, the oligarchy, and the American counter-revolution. A statement of the Socialist Equality Party, U.S. July 4th, 2025, marks 249 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which asserted the right of the people to alter or to abolish any government that becomes destructive to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Independence Day is celebrated with parades, barbecues, picnics, and fireworks. All of that is well and good. It is necessary, however, to put aside some time for serious thinking about the fate of the American Revolution and the state of the country. As the U.S. begins the 250th year of its existence, it is in the throes of a political, social, intellectual, and cultural counter-revolution. All the great democratic principles that were proclaimed in Jefferson's immortal document, and which inspired not only the struggle against the British monarchy, but also the Second American Revolution of 1861-65 that abolished slavery, are under violent attack. In his speech at Gettysburg in 1863, Lincoln asked whether a nation founded on the principle that all men are created equal can long endure. 162 years later, the fascist gangster in the White House and the oligarchy he represents are giving their answer. No, it cannot, should not, and will not. The Trump regime is not just a variety of right-wing government, a temporary aberration in the normal course of constitutional government. It represents a breakdown of bourgeois democracy. There will be no return to normalcy. The abnormal is the new normal. The ruling class is turning to fascism and dictatorship. Consider what has happened just in the days leading up to July 4. On Thursday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a class war bill that ranks among the largest upward transfers of wealth in American history. When Trump signs the bill today, he will set in motion hundreds of billions of dollars in cuts to Medicaid, food assistance, and other social programs that sustain tens of millions of people. These brutal cuts are intended as an initial down payment to pay for trillions in tax breaks for the rich. The White House and the fascists that comprise it have been focused on an escalating campaign of threats and denunciations of Zohran Mamdani, a member of the Democratic Socialists of America who won the New York Democratic mayoral primary on a platform calling for extremely minor social reforms. Trump fumed on Wednesday, quote, "I'm not going to let this communist lunatic destroy New York. Rest assured, I hold all the levers and have all the cards," end quote. In other words, the hundreds of thousands of people who voted for Mamdani mean nothing. It is the president that will determine who wins. It recalls Henry Kissinger's infamous remark, quote, "I don't see why we need to stand by and watch a country go communist due to the irresponsibility of its people," end quote. Preceding the U.S.-backed military coup that led to the overthrow and murder of Salvador Allende in Chile. Trump also traveled to Florida to celebrate the opening of a concentration camp in the Florida Everglades. At a press conference following the tour, Trump threatened to use the camp not only for undocumented immigrants, but also for American citizens. He declared, quote, "Many of them were born in our country. I think we ought to get them the hell out of here, too. You want to know the truth, so maybe that will be the next job," end quote. In the 5 months of his second administration, Trump has overseen a conspiracy to establish a presidential dictatorship, from the series of executive orders asserting unlimited executive power, to the defiance of court rulings, the mass roundup of immigrant workers by the ICE Gestapo, the deployment of the military on the streets of Los Angeles, and the criminalization of dissent, including the arrest and attempted deportation of opponents of the genocide in Gaza. The counter-revolution extends across social and intellectual life. Public health, devastated by the pandemic, is being dismantled entirely, with vaccine deniers and conspiracy theorists elevated to top federal posts. On Wednesday, the Food and Drug Administration disclosed that Trump's appointee, Dr. Vijay Prasad, a leading COVID-19 minimizer, overrode its own scientists' recommendations on vaccine approvals, an unprecedented breach of scientific protocol. The same criminality, the same class war being waged at home, is being waged by American imperialism around the world. On Monday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will travel to Washington as he oversees an ongoing genocide in Gaza. Every day, with American weapons and American money, the Israeli military murders Palestinian men, women, and children openly and with impunity. Netanyahu's visit follows the bombing of Iran by the Trump administration, an act of war carried out in complete violation of international and domestic law. in light of these events, to maintain the pretense that something qualitatively new and dangerous is not taking place in the U.S. is a delusion. The New York Times columnist Jamel Bowie summed up this attitude of complacency prevailing in the media and Democratic Party circles in a column published yesterday, appearing under the headline, "Face It, Trump is a Normie Republican." While perhaps engaging in particularly reckless actions, Trump, writes Bowie, is, quote, in most respects an ordinary Republican president, end quote. Two previous Republican presidencies over the last 20 years, quote, ended in disaster, end quote. He concludes, quote, there is no reason to think that Trump's second term will be the exception that breaks the rule, end quote. If Trump is just an ordinary Republican president, then nothing significant is required in response. Whether conscious or not, the function of such statements is to chloroform the population, to prevent what these layers fear more than anything else, a mass popular movement against the Trump administration and the social system that underlies it. The Trump administration is the political underworld in power, but this political underworld is the American ruling class. In its New Year's statement published on January 3, 2017, just over 8 years ago, the World Socialist website explained the significance of Trump's first election. Quote, the incoming Trump administration, in its aims as in its personnel, has the character of an insurrection of the oligarchy. As a doomed social class approaches its end, its effort to withstand the tides of history not infrequently assumes the form of an attempt to reverse what it perceives as the long-standing erosion of its power and privilege. It seeks to return conditions to the way they once were, or as it imagines they were, before the inexorable forces of social and economic change begin gnawing away at the foundations of its rule. Trump's pledge to make America great again means, in practice, the eradication of whatever remains of the progressive social reforms achieved through decades of mass struggles that ameliorated conditions of life for the working class, end quote. This analysis has been fully vindicated. Trump's first term began the process of establishing a dictatorship, but proved unable to complete it. The term culminated in the attempted coup of January 6, 2021, aimed at overturning the election. Far from holding those responsible accountable, the Democratic Party spent the next 4 years preparing the conditions for Trump's return. The Democrats' hostility to the interests of the broad mass of the population and their obsessive promotion of the racial and identity politics of privileged sections of the upper middle class allowed the huckster and fascist demagogue Trump to posture as an opponent of the political establishment. The Democratic Party is the terminal expression of the collapse of American liberalism. It is a party of Wall Street and the military intelligence apparatus. It combines cowardice, complicity, and outright collaboration with the Trump regime. Just 2 weeks ago, in an act of political prostration, the Democratic leadership joined Republicans in voting to kill a resolution to impeach Trump. There is, however, deep and growing popular opposition. This year has already seen mass protests erupt across the country in response to Trump's attacks on immigrants, students, and democratic rights. Millions participated in demonstrations last month under the banner of No Kings in the largest anti-government protests in American history. The democratic traditions embodied in the American Revolution retain a powerful resonance, not in the ruling class, but in the working class. Amidst the shocks of dictatorship, genocide, and war, millions are being radicalized. The critical question is the building of a revolutionary leadership. In the face of a ruling class hurtling towards dictatorship and war, it is necessary to reject all those who counsel complacency and who, like Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Mamdani, speak about oligarchy without challenging the foundations of capitalism itself. Millions of workers in the U.S. and around the world must and will come to see that the counter-revolution of the oligarchy can only be met with the revolution of the working class. On this anniversary of the American Revolution, the Socialist Equality Party calls for the building of a mass socialist movement to carry out a new revolution, one that overthrows the rule of the oligarchy and reorganizes society on the basis of equality, democracy, and social need. The criminal Trump administration must be brought down through the conscious intervention of the working class, guided by the program of world socialism. Over 600 Palestinians killed at U.S.-Israeli aid centers in Gaza. At least 600 Palestinians have been killed over the past 5 weeks at food distributions operated by the U.S. and Israeli-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, or GHF, Gaza's government media office said this week. The killings took place in over 20 separate massacres, which have become an almost daily occurrence as a critical component of the ongoing Gaza genocide. On Wednesday and Thursday, the Associated Press and BBC published reports based on first-hand interviews that American private military contractors working for the GHF opened fire on Palestinian civilians, contradicting claims by the GHF, the U.S., and Israel that the contractors had not taken part in the mass killings. The reports by the Associated Press and BBC present a picture of the aid distributions as a type of dehumanizing target practice in which the so-called humanitarian employees laugh at killing civilians and egg each other on to commit violence. One former employee who spoke to the BBC said that the contractors were given license to kill with impunity. He said, quote, "We are going into Gaza, so it's no rules. Do what you want," end quote. He said he was told, "If you feel threatened, shoot, shoot to kill, ask questions later," end quote. The Palestinians were referred to by the U.S. contractors as zombie hordes, the source told BBC, quote, "insinuating that these people have no value," end quote. The AP reported, quote, "each contractor was equipped with a pistol, stun grenades, tear gas, and an Israeli-made automatic rifle capable of firing dozens of rounds within seconds," said the contractor who took the videos, end quote. Each aid distribution is regularly accompanied not only with lethal rounds, but stun grenades and rubber bullets. The AP reported, quote, "during a single distribution in June, contractors used 37 stun grenades, 27 rubber and smoke, scat shells, projectiles, and 60 cans of pepper spray," according to internal text communications shared with the AP. That count does not include live ammunition, end quote. The reports by BBC and AP further substantiate allegations that the GHF distributions are being used to identify people for arrest or murder using artificial intelligence. The AP reported that, quote, "some cameras are equipped with facial recognition software," end quote. In March, Israel initiated a total blockade of all food, water, and electricity entering the Gaza Strip, effectively shutting down the operations of humanitarian organizations, including the UN and MSF in the enclave. In May, the GHF began its food distributions, accompanied by near-daily mass killings. Last month, the Trump administration announced that it was providing $30 million in funding to the GHF. On Tuesday, a group of more than 150 humanitarian organizations issued a statement condemning the GHF. It declared, quote, "concentrating more than 2 million people into further confined areas for a chance to feed their families is not a plan to save lives. The humanitarian system is being deliberately and systematically dismantled by the government of Israel's blockade and restrictions, a blockade now being used to justify shutting down nearly all other aid operations in favor of a deadly, military-controlled alternative that neither protects civilians nor meets basic needs. Under the Israeli government's new scheme, starved and weakened civilians are being forced to trek for hours through dangerous terrain and active conflict zones, only to face a violent, chaotic race to reach fenced, militarized distribution sites with a single entry point. There, thousands are released into chaotic enclosures to fight for limited food supplies," end quote. Last week, the Israeli newspaper Haaretz published an investigation featuring interviews with Israeli troops who said they were repeatedly ordered to open fire on unarmed crowds of aid seekers in an operation whose name apparently references the homicidal Red Light Green Light game in the fictional Squid Games television series. In an interview with Al Jazeera, Dr. Mads Gilbert, an emergency medicine doctor who has practiced in Gaza for decades, said the operation of the GHF, quote, "is part of the Israeli military forces and part of the Israeli government plan to ethnically cleanse and fulfill their goal of genocide in Gaza. The distribution organization is aimed at using food as bait to attract starving people, to terrorize them, and to kill them. The shooting of people in food lines is a war crime," end quote. At least 66 children have died of malnutrition in Gaza during the U.S.-Israeli genocide, Gaza's government media office said this weekend, as mass hunger continues to skyrocket in the besieged enclave. In June alone, over 5,000 children between 6 months and 5 years of age have been diagnosed with malnutrition. This represents a 50% increase from May and a 150% increase from February. On Tuesday, the Israeli Maariv publication reported that last month, on their way back from attacking Iran, Israeli fighter pilots dumped their unused munitions over Gaza, allowing the mass killing to continue despite the onslaught being waged against Iran. More than 300 Palestinians were killed by Israeli troops over the past 2 days, the Gaza government media office said Thursday. The attacks took place throughout the whole of Gaza and included refugee camps, homes, and markets. On Wednesday, Dr. Marwan al-Sultan, director of the Indonesian hospital, was killed in an Israeli airstrike on his home in western Gaza. Since 2023, Israel has killed at least 57,000 Palestinians in Gaza, and the real death toll is likely to be far higher. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.